This is what the church looks like. This is what the body of Christ looks like. It's my honor to read to you the word of God from Ephesians chapter 2. Christ brought us together through his death on the cross. The cross got us to embrace, and that was the end of the hostility. Christ came and preached to you outsiders, and peace to the insiders. He treated us as equals, and so he made us equals. Through him, we both share the same spirit and have equal access to the Father. That's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here, in what he is building. He used the apostles and the prophets for the foundation. Now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. So we ask this important question. On this third Sunday of Lent, in this season of uncertainty, in this season where there's a great deal of fear and even panic in the world, why is the church important? Why do we need the church? Why is it vital to our life? In so many different ways, for so many different reasons, most especially in the world that we live in. So imagine this. If Union United Methodist Church ceased to exist, would it make a difference? If churches all over the world ceased to exist, would it make a difference in the lives of the average person? I think that there are many who might argue that it wouldn't. Statistics have said that anywhere between 20 and 40% of Americans attend worship on Sunday morning. Most pollsters believe that this number is actually on the lower end of the spectrum than the higher. And unfortunately, this number seems to diminish on a regular basis. And you might wonder why. There's a lot of reasons. One reason is that people don't see it as a priority. There are lots of things that get in the way. Travel ball and trips and sleeping in and busy work schedules, hectic lives, you name it. And there are still others who have been burned by the church. The truth is that the church is full of imperfect people. We don't always reflect the Christ that we say we serve. We get involved in the politics and the arguments and the tough parts that can be a part of the church, and people have enough. And I can understand that. And then there are others who just simply fall away. That church attendance should be a habit of our lives, something that we do and feel a void in if we don't do it. And there are others that have gotten out of that habit for one reason or another. Slipped through the back door without anybody noticing, which is most unfortunate. There are a lot of barriers that get in the way of being a part of the life of the church. And so the question remains for us as the body of Christ. Why does it matter? And I want us to think about this, first of all, from a very practical sense. If churches all over the world ceased its operations tomorrow, the economic and social impact on the world would be significant. Governments and nonprofit organizations that exist out there simply could not pick up the slack from the help that is received from the church, from the body of Christ. Locally here on a regular basis, many families come and partake of our food pantry. There's no other food distribution center of any significance in Bridgeville outside of our own. But it's all run by volunteers, people not only from Union but other churches who give of their time so that families might be able to eat and to give to families less fortunate than ourselves. Churches all over the world provide food, clothing, shelter, so much more. Help during natural disasters, support school systems, provide educational and child care services, community events, and so much more. I think in this country we take the church for granted. Think about those who are in countries where worshiping the Lord and being a church is not allowed. There are people whose faith is so important to them that they're willing to go to underground churches and places of worship where they, if they were caught, they would risk imprisonment and even death. It goes to show just how important the church really is to the world, that people are willing to risk their lives to worship with others. We need to examine and appreciate the freedoms that we have to be the church without reprisal and thank God for that gift. Being the church matters to the world. But don't misunderstand me. Being the church is not just about the good that it makes for the world, but more importantly, we gather together to worship the Lord our God. It is a vital part of who we are that we come together as believers to worship the Lord. And so there's something powerful about the church, binding us together, drawing us together by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, he writes to them realizing that they need to be drawn together. That there's a sense that the Jewish Christians are somehow better than the Gentile Christians. You see, the Gentile Christians didn't follow all the purity laws. They were unfamiliar with the Old Testament and its stories, and they were not a part of what they perceived as God's chosen people. But that all changed. With the power of the Holy Spirit and Jesus' sacrifice, He brings us all together. Verses 17 and 18 say, He came and preached peace to you who are far off, and peace to those who are near. For through Him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. The gospel is meant for all people. The gospel draws us together. Jesus' sacrifice upon a cross to save us from our sins brings us together. John 3, verse 16 says, For God so loved the world. It wasn't just for one individual people group, but God so loved the world, every one of us, that we all had this gift. And the Spirit was poured out upon all people at Pentecost. We are bound together by the gift of Jesus' sacrifice and the gift of the Spirit. Verses 19 and 20 say, Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. You see, the language that Paul is using here is important. He says that we are citizens of God's people. So if you were a citizen of Rome, for example, you were given certain rights and privileges as a result of being a citizen. So in the same way, we have been given rights and privileges because we are citizens of the kingdom of God, that we've all been given a home in heaven when the time comes that God calls upon our name. What a blessing that is, that we are given this inheritance, heirs of the promises of God given to us through Jesus Christ. There's something special about being part of the family of God, that we come together to worship, to sing songs of gladness and joy, to hear the wisdom of Scripture, to hear a fresh word proclaimed that will touch our hearts and lives, and that we bring our resources together to make the world a better place and to build the kingdom of God. So I want to share with you what the last two verses of our passage say about what happens when the Holy Spirit binds us together. It says, In Him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. So often when we think about the church, we think about this building. We think about this edifice. But don't misunderstand me. The building is important. These grounds are an important tool for worship and doing the work of serving our community. We're meant to be good stewards of this space. And there's a special thank you to our trustees who helped to do that for us. But God forbid, if the church building burnt down tomorrow, Union United Methodist Church would still exist because we are the church. The church is not a building, as we just sung. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a resting place. The church is a people. It's all of us. Whether we're worshiping inside of this building, whether we're worshiping in our homes, whether we're worshiping outside, we are all the family of God together. Matthew 18, 19 and 20 says, Again, truly I tell you, if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. When we worship God, God is there. when we're praying for one another, celebrating our joys and lifting up each other in our times of distress, God is there. God makes that promise in His Word. God both dwells in our worship and dwells in each and every one of our hearts through the Holy Spirit. If we seek God, if we worship together, if we ask for salvation, the Spirit of God will dwell in our hearts. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to worship and to give thanks to the Lord our God in all circumstances. You know, people ask me this question from time to time. People ask me, do I need to go to church to be saved? And it made me think about this silly meme I saw. I don't know if this actually came from Mama's family or not, but I like it. It says, for those of you that are going to be listening later on the website, now, Mama, you don't have to go to church to go to heaven. Well, you don't have to wear a parachute to jump out of an airplane either, but it certainly helps. What do y'all think of that? It's kind of silly, but I want us to think about it for a minute. The short answer is no. You don't have to go to church to be saved. The only thing you have to do to be saved is to repent of our sin and accept Christ as Lord and Savior. We're saved by faith alone. There are no amount of good works that we can do. There's no magic number of the amount of times we have to go to church in order to be saved. However, like this meme alludes to, you're missing something vital to your faith journey if you don't. You can jump out of a plane with a parachute, but I wouldn't recommend it, would you? We're missing something integral to our faith journey. We don't come together as believers. Let me offer you one more analogy. You can belong to the gym. I can have $30 a month or whatever it is deducted out of my bank account and say that I'm a member of Gold's Gym. I can be a member of the gym and never set foot in it for months or years on end as long as they continue to receive my money. But what benefit am I receiving? You don't get fit by just belonging to the gym, do you? I'm living proof of that. You have to go. You have to use the equipment. You have to go to the classes. You have to actually work out. See, the same is true for our faith journey. We can be saved and we can belong, but if we're not exercising our faith, worshiping God, or going out into the world to shine the light of Jesus, what's the point? You see, the church is as much a verb as it is a noun. Being together as believers is an important part of who we are. Worshiping, reading the Word, praying for one another, giving of our time and resources, and serving the world and sharing our faith with others is our very identity. God calls us to this and more. It's a part of who we are. Being together as a community and worshiping together binds us. And so I think about this in light of the season that we're in. The irony is not lost on me. And I lament what's going on in the world for so many reasons. It's created so much panic and hysteria. But we're not meant to be panicked. We're meant to be prepared. And we're meant to worship God wherever we are. Whether we're in the four walls of this church, whether we're in our homes worshiping on Facebook like so many others are, or worshiping by listening to sermons or more, we are called to still be the church. You see, we're only in this building for an hour once a week, maybe more if you're going to Sunday school. But we need to reflect the church 24/7. We have to be the church every single day. And we do that by the things that we say. We do that by the things that we do. We do that by reflecting the light of Christ in the world. You see, now, in this time of uncertainty, we need to reflect the light of Christ now more than ever. We need to be the church. We need to be loving. We need to be kind. We need to reach out to those who are in need, to be a source of support and prayer, most especially prayer in this season that we're in. Our president has said that today is meant to be a day of prayer. So let us be faithful in that. May this virus be eradicated. May the fears diminish. Help us to know that God is holding us in the palm of His hand. He is with us through this. Whether we are in this building or whether we're in our homes or no matter where we are the family of God together. And we are bound by the gift of the Holy Spirit. So during this time, let us hold one another close to the power of prayer. May God send His healing power to all of us, to our nation, to our land, to our world, that we might be the church together. So dear friends, let us be faithful to this calling. Let us never cease to give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us never cease to worship, to pray, to study His word, to give of ourselves for the sake of others, that we might build His kingdom right here, right now. Will you pray with me? God, thank you for drawing us together. Thank you, O God, that through the power of your Spirit, you have drawn us together. O God, whether we are worshiping you in the sanctuary or in our homes, no matter where we are, you have called us to be the church. And so, O God, help us to be your light. Help us to be your light that shines in a world filled with darkness. Help us to be not a people of fear, but a people of preparedness, people who are faithful, and reminded of your great love, that you are with us through each and every trial, through each and every tribulation. No matter what, O God, you are holding us in the palm of your hand, and you will see us through. And so, God, send your healing. Heal our hearts, heal our souls, heal our bodies, heal our land. Heavenly Father, let your light shine. Let us be the salt of the earth, a city on a hill, that others might see our faithfulness and our love, and might come to believe. And it's in your name, O God, that we pray together. Amen.